Good morning. I'm Anthony Morneau. It's 7:45. KUNM in Albuquerque reports the administration of New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez stopped a report on gun violence from being presented to the state legislature. May Ortega has more.
The head of the State Department that oversees behavioral health services is at odds with Governor Susana Martinez's administration over how to handle gun violence in local schools. The governor's office and the Human Services Department have refused to comment on why the director's recommendations to treat gun violence as a public health issue and tighten gun laws were not presented to lawmakers last month. Behavioral Health Services Division Director Wayne Lindstrom drafted a proposal calling for tightened restrictions on assault rifles and better support resources for students. His scheduled presentation before the Legislative Finance Committee never happened, and the slides for that presentation are buried on the legislature's website. They don't show up in searches. Sources close to the situation say Lindstrom's recommendations don't align with the views of the Human Services Department or Governor Martinez, and that he didn't have permission to publish the presentation. A spokesperson with HSD refused to comment on Lindstrom's anti-gun violence work. Neither Lindstrom nor the governor's office have replied to multiple requests for comment. For KUNM, I'm May Ortega.
UCLA law professor Laura Gomez grew up in New Mexico, and she says it's critical to know the history of racism against Mexican Americans and Latinos to understand today's anti-immigrant and anti-Latino rhetoric and policies. Gomez wrote the book Manifest Destinies, The Making of the Mexican American Race. She spoke with Elaine Baumgartel.
In several towns north of Santa Fe and going up through Mora, there was massive resistance to the American occupation. And in the response to that resistance, the American military killed thousands of Mexicans in New Mexico, in those villages, and then put on trial for treason many of the participants of the uprising, and then hanged them. So there's always been that kind of resistance and that kind of conflict. So it's not really surprising that we continue to see some of the remnants of that conflict 170 years later.
So why is it that so many Hispanic people in New Mexico especially sometimes identify more with their Spanish ancestry than their Native American ancestry?
Well, what I argue in Manifest Destinies is that it's precisely because of that anti-Mexican racism that New Mexicans, Hispanos, came to identify as Spanish. Going back to the middle of the 19th century and late 19th century, the racism against Mexicans and Mexican Americans was so intense in the national press, even in the regional press in New Mexico. That is, for example, why New Mexico didn't become a state, why we were a federal territory of the U.S. from 1850 to 1912. And so in that context, Mexican Americans, as well as some allies among Anglos, began to construct a narrative about Spanish ancestry that served to distinguish Mexican Americans even more from Pueblo Indians, and also serve to kind of elevate the history of New Mexico.
So in the current political climate, recent years of anti-immigrant rhetoric, how has your work changed over the last 10 years since the first edition of the book?
Well, so the first edition of the book came out in 2007, late 2007, and Obama was elected president in 2008. And there was a sense of hope, and I think a sense on many people's part that, wow, we had elected an African-American president, and therefore we were moving into a post-racial society. Nobody is talking about that 10 years later as we are, you know, as we went through the presidential campaign and then the election of President Trump, and now a year into his term, we're very acutely aware that there is a white consciousness movement, a white rights movement, a white identity movement. In other words, there are some people who don't identify as white nationalists particularly, but do feel called to this kind of rallying cry of white identity. In that climate, people presume that all Latinos, or all those Latinos at least who quote-unquote look Latino, are immigrants. There's new data that the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency has released that shows that 1,000 American citizens have been deported to Mexico, right? So this is a phenomenon that is very much like the 30s, when there were Mexican Americans in northern New Mexico who were rounded up and deported. That's just a little example of how these concepts of immigrant, legal, illegal status all become conflated. And I think a lot of us are experiencing a great deal more blatant racism.
Laura Gomez, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Elaine. It was my pleasure.